So, you know, in life sometimes there is some pain that transcends even the most powerful of joy. There are moments in life where you just see something happen and you know no matter what happens after this, it doesn't matter. It was a bad day. It was a bad day for you. And it didn't hurt that, you know, this is probably the worst week ever that I've had on predictions. That wouldn't have mattered. I could have gotten every single prediction correct after that Bengals Vikings game, and I would have called that a loss. And the Bengals are just like, they're just the worst organization. Like, after that game, I want to call them worse than the Dolphins. I want to call them worse than the Saints. That's how bad they looked. They did nothing right. They just looked like a trash organization, just floundering around in the wind. You know, people wanted to call Jake Browning Jameis Winston. He looked like Jameis Winston without the touchdown passes. Like, Jameis Winston at least made Jerry Jeudy look like a top five wide receiver. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how you can have a generational quarterback and you want to play like patty cakes with your contract negotiations. You want to somehow invest heavily in draft picks in an offensive line and still have a shit offensive line. Honestly, like, and the defense, don't get me started on the defense. We also spent a lot of the two biggest investments in the draft since we drafted Joe Burrow have been offensive line and cornerbacks, and somehow we're shit at both. And I don't understand how this franchise is allowed to exist. I don't understand how, like, this model of generating a team is sustainable. I understand that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are worth the money. And what I would tell them right now in this exact moment is, unless you got Max, you should have got more money. Because I wouldn't put faith in these motherfuckers to, like, manage a cold or manage an Arby's or manage a Dollar General. Like, it's just terrible. This is just terrible. There's no good. There is no light. There is no positive to take from this week, even if I won this week. And, like, in later in the show, we're going to have Alex bow down to the Eagles. That's an obvious, like, come on, that's an obvious. But understand, there was no winning this week. There was just pain. Go on, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, yeah, I won my picks, so I'll just take that little victory lap. At first, I thought you were just going to run the same spiel as you did last week about how sometimes in life you think that people like are getting taught their lesson, and then you're not getting disappointed next week. About how people stand with their beliefs and then they still don't manage to beat you in the picks. But no, you just completely ignored that. So let's tell the audience that I beat you in the picks. And that we're now back tied up for
the season. You're welcome for the Steelers pick, by the way. You remember when you were floundering, I had to dig deep. I had to surgically look into your soul and tell you what your pick actually was. And do you know what, Alex? It was correct.
Hey, I had it right from the get go. But no, he just
drove us down the rant. You wanted to flounder. Go ahead.
No, but he just drove us down a rant of his Bengals that lost, as I said, because again, the team is Joe Burrow at the end of the day. Had the Bengals not have Joe Burrow for all of these years, your coach wouldn't have a job right now, because your coach, again, is right up there with some of the worst of them in the league. He's just not a good coach team. The offense, I mean, they got completely beat. The offensive line got completely beat. Over what?
Technically speaking, this is I was going to say Overreaction Monday, but this is Thursday. What you saw from the Bengals, Yeah, Overreaction Thursday. What you saw from the Bengals, would you call them worse than the Dolphins and the Saints after watching that?
Absolutely not. We've seen them
before. Absolutely not?
Absolutely not. They are going to be a decent team. Just relax. What? But you're not going to have...
The Bengals are offensive. Not like actually good at offense, but hard to watch. They're painful. They're pathetic. I wouldn't blame you if you said the Dolphins were a better team or the Saints.
But they're not. We've seen this before with the Jake Browning experience. You're going to have decent games. You're going to have absolutely trash games.
Where was the decent pressure. Game?
I mean, looking at last year, you had plenty, or the last time that he played, better say, he had plenty of games of 300 plus yards, with multiple touchdowns thrown. I mean, you were at least hanging in there when he was playing. Now, of course, the other shoe eventually drops. This is a backup for a reason, and he's not like the best backup in the league, as I've heard some people say before, especially people who are not very keen on Joe Burrow. Like that he's one of the best backups in the league, and that the drop off from Burrow wouldn't be much. I believe that can be put to rest. But I also think that it's not going to be as bad as it was versus the Vikings, because the Vikings are a good defense and they managed to put pressure on the backup, on Jake Browning. And that's basically what happened. He got pressured. He couldn't really move the football all that much. I think you have a massive problem in the run game. I think maybe like the whole Chase Brown hype, that might be a bit of an overreaction, I'd say. Because Chase Brown looks absolutely bang on average at this point. So I'm not sure if he wasn't just a product of the defense. That part I would be concerned. For the rest, I really wouldn't be all that much concerned. I think any hopes of playoffs, if Burrow is only coming back on best case scenario, December is basically none. I watched the game. A game is not plenty of games. It's one game. Things happen. We know what happens in the NFL at this point in time. And teams that look surprisingly shocking end up having decent games from time to time. So hang in there. It's going to be a rocky road. But I don't think your schedule is like all that terrible going forward. So relax a bit. You're going to okay for the most part.
You'll have an opportunity to have conviction on that statement today. So we'll see how convinced you are of those words that you're spewing right now.
All right, I will. So it's not all bad. Like it could be worse for you. Like at least you know that next year. What's worse?
What's worse?
I would say that at least
the Falcons' next fate year, was better. The Falcons' fate was better this week. What's worse?
No. I mean, the Falcons actually scored 0 points versus the Carolina Panthers. So that
they didn't
could be
give
worse.
Up 50.
Well, they gave up 30, and it was to the Carolina Panthers, not to an actually good coach and Kevin O'Connell. I know he was playing
Jordan
with the backup.
Jordan Mason looked better than Christian McCaffrey.
Jordan Mason is actually a very good running back. I'll have you know. So I'm not sure what the issues that you have with Jordan Mason are, but he's actually a pretty solid running back. Again, it could be worse for you, as I was saying, because at least next year you have Burrow coming. You know that he's 100% back. Could be worse. You could be the Texans, where you have no one coming back, and it's all misery from here on out. You could be the Jags, where you have no one coming back and it's all misery going on. There's teams that there could be worse. Like the Dolphins, you were trying to compare yourself with the Dolphins. Again, your QB is going to be back next year. If their QB gets hurt, it's probably done for the career. And then you have nothing. You have a guy that looks like he's a coke addict training your team. And you have a guy that has a lot of off-the-field issues on your team. So that's basically what you have. In fact, I like the part where in Thursday Night Football, we didn't manage to talk about that. But since you brought the Miami Dolphins, I liked how on Thursday Night Football, they basically highlighted the fact that he's a piece of shit that bits in his wife, like in the middle of the game, which is always fun, I guess. So they were just talking about the game, and then he's like, yeah, so Tyreek Hill, he had some off-the-field issues this season, allegations of being of I'm not sure what the word was that they used, but basically allegations that he was beating his wife. It's just like a very weird moment. Yeah, domestic violence. Allegations of domestic violence versus his wife. It's just like very out of nowhere. So that was surprising by Amazon to allow that. But okay, here we go. So it could be worse. Definitely could be worse for your team, because at least, hey, this year maybe it's a wrap. But at least next year, you know who's coming back, and you know that you're probably going to be decently safe. You're just probably going to have to use another full draft on the offensive line, because that one still seems not to be fixed.
We need a whole draft on everything. We need a whole draft on offensive line. We need a whole draft on defensive backs. We need a whole draft on linebackers. We need a whole draft on running backs. Like, what are you talking about? We need a whole draft on a lot of shit, dude. Like,
you basically need every team's draft. Like, you need 32 picks in every single round to fix the team, is what you're trying to tell me?
That's what it looks like. That's what Sunday looked like.
I feel like you're maybe a bit over the edge, where before was like, okay, we're 2-0. We usually start super slow, so there's optimism here, because we're starting strong here. And now you lose a game. I know it was an embarrassing loss.
I'd rather be 0-3. I'd rather be 0-3 than 2-1 with that.
You're going to be fine, Angelo. This week, you face the Broncos. I'm sure you're going to go out there.
You're going to pick the Bengals against the Broncos. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to pick. I haven't even checked the line that we have at this point.
7.5, and it's not enough.
I don't know about that, Jim. I'll tell you that much. 7.5 is a lot for a defense that I thought was going to be good, and is actually very beatable at this point. So, let's see. I think you're solid. I think it's a bit of an overreaction Thursday, I would say, for sure. Like, you're not at the level of the Miami Dolphins. I'll tell you that.
All right, we might be worse.
You would be favored versus the Dolphins right now. I'll tell you that much.
I wouldn't be confident in that.
I think you would be fairly favored in that one. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to be fine. Relax, Angelo. It's 1 week. It's one very bad week, but eventually things will work out for you. You're a bit more relaxed now. You managed to get that off your chest. Things are looking better as the day goes on. You managed to get through a week. You weren't probably expecting to be this great team. I know you picked your team to actually cover this line. But again, you faced an actual okay coach or good coach, I'd put it like that, with an actual solid backup that was actually once in an MVP race. You have Jake Browning. So, dude, it's not the same. It's like you're comparing, I don't know, let's put this to a very extreme level. You have Nathan Peterman and you're being coached by, I don't know, dude, you're being coached by, like, Raiders John Gruden, late Raiders John Gruden before he got fired. And you're facing, I don't know, a very solid backup in like a...
Carson Wentz the solid backup.
He's a better backup than Jake Browning, apparently. Solid backup, I'd say.
You could have been quarterback that game and won. Are you aware that if, they didn't have a single snap of offense... If the Vikings didn't have a single snap of offense, they win that game 14-10?
Well, yeah, it's not going to be every single day that Isaiah Rodgers has, one of the best games a defensive player has ever had. With, an interception, a fumble, a pick six, in fact. A pick six, a fumble six, and also interception, if I'm not mistaken. It's not going to happen every single day, I would say. Relax. You
could have won that game for the Vikings.
No, I couldn't.
Yes, you could have. I could have won that game for the Vikings. Oh my.
It's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to win plenty of games this season still. I'll tell you that.
Plenty?
Plenty, yeah. I'm fairly confident in that as well.
We'll see as the season goes on, I guess. So... moving on to something that's much, 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 much more joyful. Are you ready to, like, bow down to the Eagles? Are you ready to take your card-carrying Eagles hater card and throw it in the trash? You don't need it anymore. Are you willing to admit the Eagles are the best team in the NFL? At least the best team in the NFC.
The only thing that I'm ready to admit is that the gods of the blocked field goals have cursed me, have sent a curse upon me. I've never seen anything like this. So a bit of a recap on week three. So right there, I was sitting with a few picks this week. And one of them, for example, was the Rams. The Rams plus 3.5. The Rams were dominating that game. First half, it looked absolutely brutal for the Eagles.
Called them pumpkins.
Pumpkins, exactly. They looked like absolutely pumpkins in the first half. Second half, they turned it up a bit as well. And they managed to turn it around. They were up, if I'm not mistaken, it was 26-27.
26-27.
Now, yeah, but that was the end, exactly. Now, they were up, the Rams were up 26-20 versus the Eagles. The Eagles scored a touchdown. It's 26-27. The Rams just drive down the field. They are about to kick a field goal. It looks very good for them to win. No issue whatsoever. Out of nowhere, bam, the field goal gets blocked. Was it Jordan Davis? I believe Jordan Davis. Yeah, Jordan Davis picks it up. He runs like he's a 300-something-pound man. He just grabs the football. He runs all the way to the end zone. He scores a touchdown. Instead of being able to... Because I would be able to cover the line no matter what. Like, if the Rams score the field goal, I cover the line. If the Rams don't score the field goal, I cover the line still. But no, you know the only thing that could screw me there? Was actually a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. So... there you go. Blocked field goal return for a touchdown. Perfect. So I get screwed in that one. And then I get screwed in the Jets-Buccaneers one as well. So the Buccaneers were up for most of that game. They were up by a touchdown or more for most of that game. Out of nowhere, they're about to kick a field goal. And it gets blocked. Return for a touchdown. There you go. That just screws me up another bet. So that's all perfect. And then if I'm not mistaken, there was a third instance in which that happened. It was the Packers, yeah. That one wouldn't really change the outcome all that much because they were never going to cover. Like,
how's your best team in the NFL doing, though, buddy?
I think the Browns are sneaky good on defense.
Oh, my God.
I'll put it like that.
Sneaky good on defense?
But tracking back to the Eagles, I'm not going to admit anything to a team that...
if you're at least willing to call the Cowboys America's team, can you call the Eagles God's team, please?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, they are... the only thing that I'm willing to concede is that they are the luckiest team to have ever played the game of football. Because
and
this
you still is, hate them. And you still
I mean,
hate
they won,
them.
They won two games first, passing for below 200 yards. And they won a game by blocking a field goal, return it for a touchdown on a guy that is 300 plus pounds. Like, they were ready to lose that game because they really couldn't do much in that last drive versus the Rams. The Rams were on them for most of that game. They managed to come back up, the Eagles. But they were still going to lose that game because, like, the Rams were all set up for the field goal to win it. But no, apparently they are the luckiest team to have ever graced a football field. So, hey, here we go. That's the only thing that I can see to you because the Eagles are still frauds at this point.
They're 3-0 for... oh, we're going to get to that on the next episode. But, man, like...
they are absolute frauds, man. I'll tell you that much right now. There's no way you can convince me otherwise because it's just not possible. They are massive frauds. They are not a team that will win anything this year.
You said that last year when they won the Super Bowl.
In fact, I'll tell you that right. I'll tell you this right now. They are not going to win a single playoff game. And this is not a prediction. This is a spoiler.
You're setting yourself up for failure again, man.
They are not going to win a single playoff game. they're going to get bounced in the first round. And I think they're going to be bounced in the first round by the team that absolutely loves to face them and that has bounced them back in the playoffs a few times, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Putting your faith in the Buccaneers. Man, yeah, you're like, your hate for the Eagles knows no bounds. Like, I don't understand what the Eagles did to you. You'd think they, like, fucked your woman or something. Like, Jesus, man.
Nah, man. They are just, it's just, they are America's team right now. They are, like,
they are God's team. They are, Cowboys are
another thing. Another thing that I need to get out of my chest right now. They're not only the luckiest team, but you can see that they're clearly the favorite team of the NFL because of how much shit they get away with. Now they're getting away with breaking rules in this at this point.
Breaking like
they are false starting in their tush push at this point, and it's never getting called. Like, their offensive linemen are always playing with false starts, like immediately, like they move before the snap moves. But because it's so quick and because it's the tush push and it's because it's the Eagles, it's never flagged. Like, if a team tries to jump on it, I mean, yeah, at this point, that's the only thing that I can imagine. Like, the NFL refuses to ban the tush push. And then they allow this Bush League sort of BS false start by the team that is America's favorite, by the team that is the darling of the NFL, that just sells a lot of tickets because the fan base is rowdy and it's this and it's that. And they're completely delusional because they think they have this great QB. But at the first sign of it struggling and the coach struggling, they just completely turn on him. But while everything is fine right now and they're winning and they won a Super Bowl, like, they're the best team to ever play this game. And the NFL is just completely on board with it. Like, they refuse to ban this play. The play gets players hurt. It has been proved. The NFL does nothing about it. They have safety concerns. They do nothing about it because it's the Eagles. And it's because it's a team that sells a lot of tickets. The fan base would be mad at the NFL. NFL doesn't want to deal with that. So that's why they're not banning it. And that's why they're allowing false starts on those plays. It's screaming in this game. Like, this game that they just had versus the Rams, they were doing it all the time. It was completely out of this world. The game versus the Cowboys, they did it. The game versus the Chiefs, they did it. This is a complete asinine thing that the league is doing. They're running the game that we love. And it's just, the Eagles are just scum of the earth at this point, man. I cannot.
You are starting to sound like Chief haters with the Taylor Swift stuff at this point.
I mean, at this point, I might just be that, because, like, this is maddening. Like, they have a running back for a QB. They have a great running back running the football, and they still result to just go back to this Bush League sort of BS just tragedy of a play. And they are even bending the rules further now by false starting when things aren't going their way. This is just absolutely asinine. Like, beat media is hiding this from you right now. And you're all being complacent with this. This is absolutely not right for the game that we love. I think the Eagles should be docked a win at this point because of all of this.
Docked a win?
At this point, like, what do you want me to say? Like, they're winning games that they shouldn't be winning. They're committing false starts in plays, and it's not being done anything about it. So, like, they're just completely going illegal on a lot of these plays. This shouldn't be allowed. Like, the NFL should review their games, should knock them wins. This is the only outcome that is favorable.
And dock them wins. That's unbelievable, man. Like, jeez.
Like, this is the Eagles. This is the team that you loved. A bunch of cheaters.
Cheaters! You're calling them just flat-out cheaters.
Absolutely man. Cheaters. Like, that's the one thing that they are.
Scum of the Earth team. That's the title. Alex calls the Eagles the Scum of the Earth team.
Well, I've told you. Like, that's what they are.
You better, like... You better... The Alex Eagles apology tour will start eventually. It's just apparently not now.
It's never going to start. It's like, even when they win games, it's all by luck. It's never by, being actually good.
Oh, Alex. You got any more rants you want to, or should we start predicting these games?
No, there's one more. There's one more. We still need to talk about the Texans, and it's just like...
Oh, you can take...
Are you ready? Are you ready to admit that CJ Stroud is actually trash, and it's not as good as Bryce Young?
I'm willing... Not as good. Stop this. Stop that one. Stop that one right now. But I am willing to admit CJ Stroud was a bit out of pocket when he said he was a top three quarterback.
The best storyline that I've liked across the years from CJ Stroud is how absolutely dog shit he has looked since he tried to big bro Caleb Williams last year. When he was trying, after the game versus the Bears, he was basically trying to big bro him and tell him what to do in that situation and like tell him that it's just part of the course and all of that. And ever since then, he's been absolutely trash. Caleb Williams has looked solid since then, and I just love that storyline. Bryce Young looks better than CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud is an absolute tragedy. He fooled you all for a year. He is exactly what I thought he was before coming into the season, an erratic QB, another product of Ohio State at this point, which is just completely asinine that people still fall for Ohio State.
Do you just like hate Ohio State quarterbacks? Is this what I'm getting at?
They're all trash, dude. The only guy that I liked out of Ohio State isn't even alive anymore.
Whoa. Ohio State quarterback who is top three in the NFL right now.
Well. Is he actually Ohio State?
He did finish with Ohio State, but yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So to me, that's an LSU QB. So the only guy that got out of college, out of OSU, into the NFL, I actually liked, was Haskins. Wait, it was Haskins, right?
Yes,
okay. I liked him. I thought he had a shot at being an actual good prospect. So, rest in peace, Haskins. I liked you.
Rest in peace, respect.
Every single OSU QB that comes out, Ohio State QB that comes out is just absolutely trash. They're all fucking garbage. Like, stay in your lane and keep producing wide receivers. That actually seems to be a thing that you can actually do. Well, here's one thing that I'll give you a reason. Since we're talking about Ohio State, Marv might have issues.
Oh, you mean the Marvin Harrison Jr. that you said was better than Malik Nabers?
Yes, that might not actually be everything. I'll tell you that. Yeah, I'll concede that to you because the plays that I've been seeing out of Maserati Marv have looked a lot like a Fiat Punto drops. Or a Fiat Uno.
Is that what you're referring to? The drops?
It's the not drops? Just the drops. The drops isn't even the most alarming thing in my eyes. It's really the fact of how we just completely just quits on routes when it's not going to his way. He just doesn't really give a shit at this point. Like, if he's not the first read, he just goes out of there and, yeah, pass the route. And it just
weird.
Is not really willing to do any of that shit. So that really doesn't fly with me. And
guy who
so
skips
I'm not...
combine because the results might not go his way, gives up on routes that the ball isn't going his way. Shocking, buddy. Really,
agree,
let me tell you how shocking.
Still, I'll defend that he didn't have to take the combine because it would really do anything for him at that point. But still, what I've seen on the field is alarming to me, and I am less confident about him panning out. So,
interesting.
I'll concede that one to you. That's one thing that you can take a win here. But you have to concede to me that Bryce Young looks great right now.
He looked good against the Falcons. I'll give you that. Are you ready to concede Marion Hampton over Ashton Jeanty right now?
I'll take some time on that one. Let's do a rain check on that one.
Check on that one because right now that looks that also looked like a pretty solid
prediction from you is truly.
Yeah, a guy is playing in a great team, had a great game after the starter went down, because until that point, it was looking very much like Najee Harris was the guy going forward. Then Najee gets hurt. Okay, Amari Hampton goes in there. He looks great. But again, he's playing for the Chargers, 3-0 team, looks great, great offense. The other guy is playing for the Raiders, not so great offense.
Time out. Now we're making excuses. How is this not something I already said post-draft? Is this not an argument? The excuse you're giving is this literally not an argument that I made that Amari and Hampton went to the better situation, the better offense, the better quarterback, and we still had Aston Jenny Love from like this the here to the sea. Like so what why wasn't that excuse during the draft, but now it's an excuse? Answer me that. Riddle me that, Alex. Why?
I thought he would have more volume. The one thing that I will concede to you is that he is not a great pass blocker. Great blocker. So that takes him off the field more than I would like. But yeah, apart from that, I'll take a rain check on that one because I wouldn't be shocked if that flipped eventually. So, rain check.
So, man.
But Bryce Young, man, he looks great. He is looking great out there. You're telling me, yeah, it's only this week. He actually only had like 121 yards passing this week. But he was looking fine for that game. Much like what happened
to
the...
You also could have won that game.
I could have won a lot of games this week, right?
You could have at least won for the Vikings and the Panthers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, damn. I should actually go to the NFL, right? Like, just have a job in which I QB a team that has like the worst... Like the team that has the best defensive matchup versus the opposing QB, I just go for that team and I play for that team.
Gotta hand it off to Bijan, or you hand it off to, or not Bijan, but hand it off to Chuba Hubbard, or hand it off to Jordan Mason. Pick your poison.
Jesus Christ, yeah, dude, that looks like an amazing set of guys to end it off.
Pick your poison. They looked amazing. You see that? But they looked amazing. They looked unbelievable.
I don't know about that, Jim. Well, Jordan Mason looked very good, yeah. I'll concede that one to you. So yeah, apart from that one, okay, so the Eagles are still shit. The Jets look better with Tyrod Taylor at QB than Justin Fields, who would have figured. QB is always a key.
Justin Fields slander.
Justin Fields like 90% slander at that point.
Wins that game.
There's one thing that we know is that Justin Fields never wins those games, so I think you should quit that one while you're ahead, because we've seen the same exact scenario in which like Justin Fields needs to make a play to win a game, and you know that one ends either a turnover on downs, an interception, a fumble. A lot of times it's the fumble. I don't think you have a leg to stand on in that Justin Fields wins whatever game. It's never a thing, dude. He just never wins games. That's not his thing. He's great for fantasy. Like, he will run around. He will look like a little clown running around, doing the tricks and whatnot. He will slide down before getting a first down. That's, like, his expertise, because his football IQ is, like, room temperature at this point. So, apart from that, like Tyrod Taylor is the guy that they should actually use going forward. If they want a chance at actually winning any sort of game. So,
I think we should get to our predictions now, buddy.
We should get to the predictions, exactly. Okay. So let's start with Thursday Night Football.
I'd love to, you know, disavow you on Justin Fields, but it's all good.
Dude, that's never a thing. Actually, yeah. Never a thing.
Don't worry, buddy. Oh, no, not this!
So Thursday Night Football, J.Q. Buzz goes to Arizona. The God Emperor QB of the United States of America goes to Arizona. You know who's actually PFF's number one QB?
Is it Sam Darnold?
It is my guy, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold with the Seahawks. Offense is clicking. Defense looks absolutely lethal at this point. Like, they are just amazing guys.
I don't understand this line, quite honestly. This is a very depressing line.
It's a weird line at this point. They're basically telling you that they're basically equal teams because, like, it looks like the home field advantage has shifted to, like, 2 at best, like, 2 points. So they're basically telling you they're the same team. And I'll let you know right now, I think the Cardinals are complete phonies. The one thing that has me doubting this pick is the fact that we always struggle.
That you're making
Arizona.
It?
No, it's the fact that we always struggle in Glendale, Arizona. It's just, it's one of those things. Even when we're great, even when we have great teams, I remember the years where we had pick Russell Wilson and we had a great defense. I remember the games that we actually tied on Thursday Night Football, in fact, because we weren't even able to score points. And it was like a 6-6 game or something weird like that. So it's always a team that gives us fit in Arizona. That's the one thing that has me on my back foot here, but I'm still going to go with the Seahawks plus 1.5. I like us to win this game in general. So
normally I agree with you. Like, I think you have the better side here. I think that's a good call. That said, like, you got to keep it rolling. You got to feed the hot hand. You got to go. And right now you're like, oh, for the century on Thursday night game. So I'm going to go with Arizona. Like, I'm pretty sure that you correctly predicted one Thursday night game all season last season, and you celebrated that. So, we're going to keep it
rolling.
Might
be around that ballpark.
Yeah. I know it's around that ballpark. Max is three. There's no way you predicted more than three. But, yep. Anyway. Anyway, next up, we got the Minnesota Vikings at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Vikings are favored by 2.5 points. We only have half an hour, so I gotta keep this short. Long story short, the Vikings have a backup quarterback. The Steelers do not. I'm actually gonna take the points and go with the Steelers here. The defense did seem like it turned the corner. And if that's the case, the Steelers should win this game. No?
I'm struggling saying that. Because the Patriots defense still didn't have Christian Gonzalez. So I'm not sure how much of that was actually like Steelers have turned the corner in this one. While I think you've seen, like, in firsthand, in fact, how good the Minnesota Vikings are actually on defense. But it's a weird game. It's in Ireland. So I think it, sort of anything can happen at this point.
I made my prediction. You're up, buddy. I got Steelers.
Oh, you made your. You made it. Okay.
Yeah, Steelers.
I think I'm just going to go with the defense. I think I'm going to go with the Vikings minus 2.5. Purely on the defense, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is still iffy. I think they'll put on yardage, but getting into the end zone is probably a whole different deal. The fact that this is in Ireland kind of scares me because we see a lot of defensive games. So in that case, the 2.5 would probably be a better line. But if I'm taking the Steelers, I always need the 3.5. Like, below that, I really can't do it. So give me the Minnesota Vikings minus 2.5 for this one. After that one, the Washington Commanders go at the Atlanta Falcons. This is probably a Marcus Mariota line, I would imagine, because the Commanders are only 3.5-point favorites versus the Falcons. After the Falcons lose, like, 30-0 versus the Panthers, I would imagine that this line would be much higher if it's a Jaden Daniels line. Regardless, with Marcus Mariota, they still put like 40-something on the Raiders. I know that the Atlanta Falcons are different in this one. They're better defense, but I still think I'll take the Commanders. One thing that scares me is the fact that the Cardinals, the Falcons changed their passing game coordinator. They fired the guy. They basically put the OC in charge of that as well. So maybe they have a boost in that one, and the defense and the offense looks a bit better. But outside of that, yeah, I think this is easy, the Commanders.
So, last year you had this, like, little mini logic, and it was right a lot more than it was wrong, which is the first game with a backup quarterback always goes a lot better than you expect. The second game, however, it's anyone's guess. Because you now have tape, you see what that offense is like, and it's a lot easier to adjust.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the Falcons on this one. I think that... Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, Jaden Daniels practice in limited capacity.
If Jaden Daniels is in this game, I'm switching this. But I'm assuming that
it's not official right now. Not official. And I would imagine that with the history that the Washington franchise has with rushing QBs who don't take enough time to recover, a la RJ3, would probably be a bit more cautious with Jaden Daniels. So
agreed. So, but anyway, I'm assuming that's Marcus Mariota. I'm still going with the Falcons. They can't have another game like last week. That was embarrassing. There's just no way. And I'm going to bet on the bounce back.
That sounds like famous last words.
It does. We'll see. Saints at Bills. This is just a ridiculous line. 16.5 points for the Bills. Meaning, oh man, they're favored by 16.5. Whew. That means they would still be a 2-touchdown favorite at a neutral site, bare minimum. The Bills have actually been sacrificing teams, and this does look like a game that they're just going to...
But they didn't cover the line versus Miami.
And it was barely. It was barely. And it was barely,
but they let Miami hang in there quite a bit. So, hey, food for thought.
I am always in... So, I'm going to stick with the sacrificing storyline. I am going to go the Bills. No matter what the line is, when you've got a team red hot like the Bills going against a soft team, you go for the sacrifice. You assume that it's coming. Give me the Bills.
I'm gonna go with the Bills as well. Sort of the same reasoning that you put out there. The one thing that has me doubting this pick, it's not a pick that I'm very confident in, is the fact that they just got completely embarrassed, the Saints, and I would imagine that the players in that building will have some sort of self-respect and try to actually make this a competitive game and not get completely destroyed. In back-to-back weeks, I don't think we see that very often. Having a team that just loses by 15-plus points in back-to-back weeks, that seems very doubtful. That's the one thing that has me on the back foot. But still, the Bills are looking like one of the best teams in the league right now. So give me the Bills minus 16.5. Okay, afterwards, the Cleveland Browns at the Detroit Lions. Lions are 8.5 point favorites. I think I'm going to take the Browns. Like, the defense looks on point. I think the offense is very trashy. But the Detroit's defense is also very bendable at this point, I would say. So I'm expecting the Browns to be able to put up some points. I think this is going to be a similar game to the Packers one, or it's a complete bamboozle. And they just get completely blown out of the water like they were versus the Ravens. But I think they're going to hang in there, probably lose this game by 5 or 6 points in the end. But I think they stay in it long enough to be able to cover 8.5. So
I'm going with the Lions on this one. Remember, that Browns game was at home. That Packers team was on the road. Not as good on the road as they are at Lambeau. Yeah, I'm going with the Lions. I think they could come out hot. They do have the things that will make it harder for the Browns defense to get going, specifically in the run game. They have a two-headed attack. You can get short stuff. You can get quick passes off, and you can wear down that defensive front for the Browns. I'm going with the Lions. Give me the Lions. Oh my God, why is this a line? The Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. And this gets Alex's Can I Pick Neither Team award. The Texans are favored by 7.5. I think 7.5 is way too much for the Texans. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling myself. Give me the Texans.
You could pay me to take the Texans at like 4.5 line, much less 7.5. Like, the bookies have lost it on this one. Like, this is an absolute tragedy of a line. I know that the Tennessee Titans have looked absolutely garbage until this point. Your former OC your former OC is about to be the first coach fired for Alex.
For real. He looks terrible. He honestly looks like a terrible coach. Really?
Again, it's one of those guys who are probably a solid OC, but just like,
yeah, absolutely,
god awful coach, much like Mike McDaniels at this point. It looks like. So
did you know that you have to like win the game to win the game?
Yeah, I would imagine that's a thing. But no, but Jets fans sort of have those things called moral wins. Those count, so that's fun. But the Tennessee Titans, I think the defense is good enough to hang with the Houston Texans for a while. The Texans line is an absolute mess. CJ Stroud is an absolute mess. Nico Collins was out there getting locked up by a guy that plays both wide receiver and DB. So he's a mess in my book as well. Just give me the Tennessee Titans plus 7.5. Another crazy line, the Carolina Panthers go at Foxborough at New England, and the New England Patriots are favored by 5.5 points. That is not a drill, folks. 5.5 points for the New England Patriots. Again, no world in which I'm taking the Patriots in this one. Like, Carolina is, again, I said this before, Carolina is not in the level of a Miami, of a Houston Texans, of a Jacksonville Jags, any of those crappy-ass teams. Or the Saints, or anything like that. They are actually a sneaky, interesting team that will throw fits at some of them and are going to back their cover a lot of these numbers. Like, 5.5, this is a given for the Carolina Panthers. Like, they were 6.5 versus the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are quite trash and are on the level with the Patriots. They cover the number versus the Cardinals. So, hey. Give me this as well. I think this is going to work out fine. I don't know if Christian Gonzalez is still out. I think he is. That would be the one thing that gives me pause. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Carolina plus 5.5.
So the silver lining for me is the Patriots would have covered and won the game against the Steelers easily had they had the hindsight to bench Rhamondre Stevenson.
That's another rant that I really couldn't get into, but it took like three fumbles from Stevenson and like two fumbles for Gibson for them to give a chance at Travion Anderson. So it's just like, how far deep are you that you can't even get the football after like five fumbles?
Yeah, that can be on the next show we do if we have time for that. But yep. I'm going with the Patriots. I do think they're a lot better than they looked against the Steelers. And if they can, you know, get out of their own way and actually play players who aren't going to cough the ball up, then they cover this easily, I think. Next up, we got the Chargers at the Giants. The Chargers are favored by 6.5. Jackson Dart is starting. So I have faith in the Chargers, believe it or not. Maybe this is naive. Maybe this is too much grandstanding. But that said, I am going to go with your logic of a new quarterback comes in or the backup quarterback comes in and it looks good in the first week. So actually, give me the Giants, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers covered this.
I think the part that you're missing is that you actually need to have a good coach. I think the Giants are severely lacking that one. So,
All Jackson Dart has to know is make sure Cam Scadboo gets the ball and pass it to Malik Nabers. That's all you got to do. That's all you got. If you can do that, you can cover this line.
I sort of doubt that one. I think Jackson Dart had a crazy-ass interview about like how he doesn't feel pressure because pressure is a thing that only top athletes feel. So it kind of led me to think, I don't know, man. It sort of seems like you're saying that you're not a top athlete. So there you go. That's fun. Your first interview at a podium. So I think Jackson Dart is not ready for this. I think the offensive line is not ready for this. The offensive line is an absolute mess for the Giants. I think Jackson Dart is getting smoked in this game versus the Chargers. One thing that gives me pause is this is the Chargers. They've had too much good things happen to them. Like, they're 3-0. They've beat every single one in the division.
and they managed to beat the Broncos in a game that, like, former Chargers fans would know that, like, that's the game that you lose, like, a game that you never scored a field goal to win. Something Charger-y happened. But yeah, they managed to win that one, so that gives me pause that they're still with this much of bad of good luck, luck, that is. But I'm still going to go with them because I don't trust Brian Daboll. I think he's getting peer pressured into putting in Dart to save his job, and Dart is not going to save his job because no one can. Like, this is not going to work. They need to pull the plug. So, Chargers for me, -6.5. So after that, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. They go at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers, 3.5-point underdogs. I'm tempted to beat the Eagles. Because the Bucs are down Mike Evans now, so it's only Egbuka and the first game back from Chris Godwin. I am tempted to pick the Eagles, but I can't.
What?
I just can't. It's 3.5. The Eagles are a team that doesn't win by big margins unless their 300-plus pound defensive lineman returns a field goal for a touchdown. They're just not that type of team. So 3.5 for the Bucks. I think this is plenty. Even if they don't win the game, there's going to be some black voodoo thing that happens here, and the Eagles win this game by like 2 points off a two. What's going to happen? NFL is going to give the call. NFL is going to give the call. Like, the Bucks are going to try to go for two, to be up by like the 2 points or something like that. It's going to be some weird shit. Like, they're going to try to go for two. Yeah, I know what's going to happen. The Bucs are going to score a touchdown. They're going to be up by one. And they're going to go for two to be up a touchdown. And there's going to be a play in there late in that game where the Eagles are going to return that two-point conversion back for 2 points their way. And that's how they're going to win the game. So I'll tell you that right now. This is not a prediction. This is a spoiler, as I said before. But that's still going to be the +3.5 for me. But the Eagles will just keep on finding ways to win this sort of crazy-ass games. If you look carefully, there's going to be chickens buried without their head in Lincoln Field. And it's just some black voodoo shit at this point.
We stand on business. We go with the Eagles, and we move forward. Yeah. Next is the Jaguars at the 49ers. The 49ers are favored by 4.5 points. But I think you're right with your assessment that actually, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there a chance Brock Purdy suits up in this game?
I think Purdy plays business. Mac Jones is not hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Also, respect to Mac Jones. Gutsy ass win by him. Always knew he was capable of it. Love Mac Jones. Better than Purdy.
So give me the 49ers. I was going to say if it was a Mac Jones game or if it was backup quarterback game to go with the Jaguars because they don't win sacks. You're right, the 49ers don't win sacks anymore. Sacrificing is over. That time in the franchise history is over. That said, Mac Jones is back. The 49ers are 3-0. I don't know how much I have faith in this Jaguars team, so just give me the 49ers.
I'm kind of tempted of going with the Jags purely because Nick Bosa is out, and I think that's a bigger loss than people think for that defense.
Oh, 1,000%.
It's gonna hurt a lot. But I think Purdy is gonna be back. Juwan Jennings is gonna be back. I don't necessarily trust any weapon of the Jags right now because, like, Brian Thomas Jr. has forgotten how to catch the football. Apparently, they traded up for Travis Hunter, but are not willing to throw him the football. So that's always fun. So they have Brenton Strange and Parker Washington. And that sort of BS. So apparently that's who they're going with instead of their number one overall pick. So give me the Niners for that because I think the Jags are dumb fucks in that organization. And Trevor Lawrence throws a mean-ass laser bomb that just no one can actually catch. So he has no touch in that football. So that's actually terrible. And Brian Thomas Jr. has forgotten how to catch the football. So the Niners for me as well. -4.5. I think that's going to be right around where they win. Okay, after that, it's the Indianapolis Colts going to the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are 3.5-point favorites in this one. Colts just keep on finding ways to win, and they still look very strong at this point. I think the Rams, though, like, they had that game one versus the Eagles. Black Voodoo shit managed to turn that one around for the Eagles. But they had it in the pocket. I think they're still the better team than the Colts. At 3.5, though, I have some issues. If it was 2.5, definitely the Rams. But plus 2.5, I think I'm going to ride with the Colts one more time for them to cover the line. I don't think they win, but I think they cover this line. Right on the number, I think.
I think after the loss that they suffered against the Eagles, they kind of have to bounce back from this. I'm going to go with the Rams on this one. So, the line changed. I remember when this was 1.5 points. So, next is Ravens-Chiefs. The Ravens are favored by 2.5 points. And it's in Kansas City. Just give me the Ravens. I don't think... This Chiefs team isn't the same. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. The only bright spot is the Ravens' defense also looks catastrophic, so we could be in for another shootout. That said, I'm not sure if the Chiefs' weapons sustain a shootout. So, no, just give me the Ravens. I feel much better about that.
It's the resurgence of Tyquan Thornton, baby. He's coming back from never been a thing. I don't remember the last time that you could get points in Arrowhead with the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs are 100% solved in their issues, but I think they look much better versus the Giants. I think they have a proper defense, which the Ravens do not. The Ravens, apparently Derrick Henry has been having some fumble issues. They don't seem to trust him as much at this point, which is kind of weird for Derrick Henry. With all of that said, yeah, I think I'm going to go KC plus 2.5 purely because I don't think I'm going to ever be able to pick something similar to this. I think the Chiefs are on the up and up. I think Xavier Worthy might be back eventually, sometime soon, maybe this game. The one thing that I think they need to change is their run game. Maybe go with Rashid Rice, I believe it's his name, the rookie 6th or 7th round running back. He has some pop in the couple of carries that he had in the game versus the Giants. Yeah, for the Chiefs, because I think like Kareem Hunt is dusted. Isaiah Pacheco, I think that's that train has left the station, going to irrelevance town. So just give the ball to the young guy. That's how Isaiah Pacheco got carries to start. So I think if they try that, the run game is going to be much better. But nevertheless, they have a proper defense, 2.5 points. I think that's plenty in Arrowhead. I don't think they're back, but I think they're back enough to cause some issues to the Ravens at home. I think this is a solid KC game. After that, Chicago Bears at the Las Vegas Raiders. I understand that the Bears defense has been absolutely dog shit, but they managed to shut down a pretty solid Dallas Cowboys offense, and their offense, the Bears offense that is, looks to be absolutely clicking. It's only 1.5 points that I have to lay here with the Bears to get their side. I'm easily going with the Bears. Caleb has looked fine, to very good at times. Roma Dunze, wide receiver one, season continues, so that's perfect. So yeah, the Bears, -1.5. They look strong right now on offense. Let's go with that.
Yeah, you can't. You couldn't pay me to pick the Raiders right now. They just look bad. Give me the Bears. It pains my soul to pick it, but give me the Bears. Packers at Cowboys. Packers favored by 7.5. This is in Dallas. Once again, the Cowboys defense doesn't look like it's stopping nosebleed. That said, I'm going with
the return of the Micah.
I'm going with the Cowboys here.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with the return of Micah. The return of Micah to Dallas, I think he's going to have an amazing game. He's going to sack that a bunch of times. Their offense looked very beatable by a very beatable Chicago Bears defense. I think the Packers have a much, much, much better defense than the Bears do. I think the Packers show why they are still the best team in the NFC, and it was just a bump in the road versus Cleveland, and they go back to it. Back to their winning ways versus the Dallas Cowboys. Micah has a great game. The defense just completely wrecks them. No CeeDee Lamb for the Dallas Cowboys as well. it's an easy Packers minus 7.5 when your wide receiver one is crazy ass George Pickens and your two is Jalen Tolbert and your third is like a wide receiver that is 150 pounds soaking wet. That's just never going to be able to beat the Packers. So simple as. Okay, after that, I have the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins. This is probably be a Justin Fields game. You know how I feel about Justin Fields. Close game. He never wins those. He's never capable of it. I expect him to be up. Dolphins come back. He has a chance to turn something around in the last play. Throws an interception. Game's over. Dolphins win by 3. Give me the Dolphins minus 2.5.
Give me the Jets. We are sticking with business, and Justin Fields is going to win this game because he is facing the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are not good.
Oh, yeah. The Jets are crazy good.
So, I have to pick this. Broncos favored by Bengals play in Denver. The Denver's favored by 7.5. Give me the Broncos. I don't want to watch this shit anymore. Alex, you got the rest of the show.
All right. No, I still need your three picks. Give me your... I'll take the Bengals. My plus 7.5. Because, again, I think it's overreaction Thursday. Just give me the Bengals. Plus 7.5. They're not
okay,
that bad.
Okay, well, gold is Denver covering against the Bengals.
Okay, Denver minus 7.5. Okay, after that.
Silver is Detroit covering against Cleveland.
Detroit, that's... What do we have? And, we have 8.5.
And you know what bronze is. Bronze is the Eagles beating the Bucks.
Philadelphia minus 3.5. The frauds that run the show at the NFL. It's like the mob at this point. So yeah, okay. Yep.
And that's
your,
my
your picks. That's your show. I just need you to end it when I'm done. Okay, so after that, my gold pick, it's going to be the Carolina Panthers, plus 5.5. After that, I'm going to go with... give me the Bears, minus 1.5 for my silver pick. And after that, with the bronze, which I'm 2-0 for, by the way, I'll recap it after this. I'll just take the, I'll take the Tennessee Titans. Titans plus 7.5 for me. And I believe that's the show. I'll just recap the records on the gold and the silver and the bronze. So for the gold, I'm 0-3, Angelo's 2-1. For the silver, very similar. I am 0-3, Angelo's 2-1. But I'm beating him right now in the bronze picks where I am 2-1 and he's only 0-3. So this would probably indicate to you that you should take Denver minus 7.5, Detroit minus 8.5, and Tennessee plus 7.5, because those are the ones that we're actually good in. So if you stick along this run, thank you very much. If you're listening in the Apple Podcasts app and the Spotify app, just make sure to leave us a review. Turn on the auto downloads as well. That really helps out the show. Make sure to subscribe, of course, as well, because you always get the latest show if you do all of those things. And that's great. You get notifications for all of that. Everything is fine and dandy. So that's just perfect. I'm sure that you've now heard that. So that's great. You're probably going to hear a few more. Bear with us. That really helps out the show. It helps us just continue doing the great content that you like to listen. So thank you very much. I hope your team is doing good so far. Unless it's the Eagles. Just fuck out of the way. You're listening to the show if you're an Eagles fan at this point. Outside of the other ends. Those are always good. The rage mate. But hey. Thank you so much. I hope you're liking the season as much as I am. And we'll talk to you probably next week. Maybe the show's still dropping out Saturday. A very doubtful maybe. But a maybe nonetheless. Most likely, talk to you next week. Have a good one.